Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to take a look at implementing some standardized styles in your cascading style sheets that will help give you some consistency and organization, kind of an architecture to doing your cascading style sheet styles. So let me do a little setup, and we're just going to create a sample website and use that as our basis. So let me go in here and make sure that the correct folder, so it's in our sample download. And as you can see, we're creating a Visual Basic based website here, and when we put the sample code up on the site for you to download, there will also be a C# version. So we're just going to use this sample page that comes with the project template, but I'm going to delete the content out of here, and we're going to be back here in a few minutes to put some content in there. And there's a default style sheet, and what we're going to do is we're going to add another style sheet in here, and I want to leave the original style sheet that comes with the project template so we can kind of periodically go back and use that as a point of comparison. And there we go, a style sheet, and we're just going to call this HDI style for how do I video after the video series here. And there we go. Let's go back to our default page. And let me just put a link to the HDI style sheet in here. So as we create some things on the page, the style sheet's linked in and we'll get the effects of the style sheet. So we'll go back over here and let's see. Let's open up this CSS outline. So as we go along here, we can see what we're creating, and we really won't be using the Solution Explorer, so let me hide that. That way we get more real estate in our style sheet document here. Now the first thing I want to do is go back over and open up the standard style sheet called site.css that comes with the project template, so we kind of have that as a little bit of a point of perspective when we do what we're going to do here in the HDI cascading style sheet. Now you can see here that this default cascading style sheet is really based upon two things. One is that it's got has styles for many of the main elements that you might use on your page, the HTML elements that is. And it also has some classes, and these classes are divided into just some of the main entities that one might use on a page. We'll come back and I'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment. Let's go over to the HDI style sheet that we created and get started adding a few things in here. Let me delete this out. Now the first thing I want to point out is that the focus of what we're going to do here in the demo is going to be on the visual appearance of the page as well as the user's interaction with the page. We're not going to deal with layout of the page in the cascading style sheets that much. It's not that you shouldn't deal with layout in the cascading style sheet. It's actually a great way to do layout. But in terms of the scope of this demo, we really need to focus on the visual appearance and user interaction. So the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to put a couple groups here. And what I mean by groups is we're going to create some styles that apply to a few main categories of things in terms of the user interface. And one of the things we're going to create is containers. And the next one that we're going to create has to do with state. And the third group, at least initially, is going to have to do with user interaction. So we'll just call that interaction. Now kind of the basis of the approach that we're going to look at here is that we're going to create some styles that are quite granular in nature. And then when we use them on a page, what we're going to do is put together one-to-many of these kind of low-level granular styles to get the desired effect on the page. And this will be a bit in contrast to what we saw over in Site CSS. Let me put a few styles in and then we'll go back and forth between our HDI CSS and the Site CSS. So first up under containers, and we're going to create a class, and I'm just for sake of convention here going to use the HDI prefix for, you know, the how do I videos as the prefix, but obviously you could make that whatever you see would fit for your own situation. These are all going to be user interface related, so we'll do a UI and then we'll just put a container. Now down in here we're gonna put let's put font family, and we'll just pick Verdana. We could have several there, like we could also put Arial while we're at it. And if we wanted a third font that would follow Arial in case both Verdana and Arial not available, we could put that in there. And let's go down here and put a font size, and let's say that 1.0 EMs is our default font size. And this creates kind of a high-level container, and the fonts in that container would all look the same. So while we're at it, let's go over here, and we'll just, for sake of convenience, copy that style, and let's start to use this a little bit. So let's make a div on our page. There we go, and let's put the class, container class that we just created here inside that div. So now that is our main container. And a little squiggly line tells us that we forgot the closing quote, so that looks much better. Now we'll go back over to the HDI, and you'll see how we're going to build on this, I think, a little bit more in a moment. And then the next thing we might say is whenever we have some content inside our container that we want it to have a certain appearance. So go HDI UI dot container content. And let's say whenever we have content, we want to have a little border. So we'll go border. Solid 1 pixel, and let's make this obvious, I'm going to put red. You probably wouldn't have red, but that'll make it nice and obvious on the page. So we'll kind of build as we go. Let me take this one, I'll go back over to our ASPX page, and let's put some content in here. We'll say div class, we'll say equal to HDI content or container content like this. And we also, let's, you know, we could have two containers. Now here we're going to do the layout by putting some specific styles in here, and we might say float left. And as I said in the beginning, we're focusing on user interface, so we're going to hard code some of these styles in here, but you might do a similar approach to what we're doing with the user interface part of things and abstract out some of your common layout issues to their own classes. And let me go inside this one, and we'll put left column 1, and here we'll put right column 1. Let me just format the page with a control D here, so we get, there we go. It looks a little more hierarchical with that formatting. And so at this point, let's just take a quick look at our page to see what our styles are doing. So we'll just open it up in the browser, and there's our left right columns. And you can see the simple formatting we've done so far is producing a standardized font and border around our two containers. Now one of the other things we might have is a header in one of these containers. So we'll go down here. In fact, we're just going to copy this, paste this down, like this, and put in the word header. So now with our headers, let's say we want a background color. You might also use a nice background image if you have one of those. So we'll go down here, and we'll just put blue. And let's also say that we want the font weight to be bold. Like that. So now anytime we have a header, we're going to have that standardized look to it. So we'll go over here and let's take column 1 and put a header in there. And in fact, what we'll do is put this in a div. And we'll go over and let's put the class for our header inside this div. It'll say equals HDI container header, like that. Save that. Just open the page, take a quick look. So now we should have the left-hand column header with its font weight of bold and blue, which we do. Now we'll go back over to our style sheet. And one of the other things that we might want to have is whenever we have a link or an anchor element that it has a specific color. So we want to standardize that anywhere that we have an anchor tag inside our content. So we'll set the color of this and let's set it to green just as a little different color. So now if we have a link in one of our containers, so I'll go over here and we'll just leave that. We'll put an anchor tag and we'll put the href equal to, we'll just put a pound sign in there and we'll put test link. Now when we open our page, we should see that in our standard green color, and we do see that there too, but I'm just going to leave this page open, come back and refresh it, because we'll be going back and forth a fair bit. So now we have a standard look to all our anchor tags, and those are the anchor tags inside the content of our container. And we also might want to deal with anchor tags that are inside our header. We'll go like this. And in this case, because of our design, we want these to be a little bit different. And for lack of a better color, we'll pick yellow. So now if we put an anchor inside of our header, so we're just going to take this, and where's our header? Up here on line 10. And we'll put a little link in there. Let me just reformat so we can see things. And let's go back over to our web page. Let's just refresh a little bit, take a quick look at that. There it is in the yellow link. And notice that because it's in the header, it's also adopting the bold font that we created. Now we'll go back over to HDI CSS. And you might say, well, why don't we just assign a color to the anchor tag as an element? And such as if we go over here to Site CSS, we see that they have here assigned a color for hover, active, visited, and the standard anchor tag. And the limitation of that and the reason that we're doing it this way is that, as you've seen here, now we can get an anchor tag formatting for the anchors in our content that is potentially different from those in our header. So now we've done a few of these containers, and I should just point out we only dealt with the regular anchor. We could also do something with hovering over, visited links, and the like as well. So now let's look at state. And what we're going to do with state is we're going to define several styles that represent the major states of elements in our application, maybe a default state, an active state, and a hover state. Active state might be used for something like tabs. We have multiple tabs and a particular one is active, and hover, I'm sure you're familiar with. So let's create several styles. We'll go down in here, UI, and we're going to group these by calling them all state, and we'll have one called the default. And we'll copy and paste those down. We'll have one, let's call this hover. And we'll make one we'll call active. Now let's put a couple quick attributes in here, so we have some visuals. We'll call solid 2 pixels red. And I'm just throwing a couple attributes in here so we can see the effect. Obviously, we'd refine these a bit more. And we'll make this yellow. Make green the active. Let's put a background color in here. And green, let's put blue. And let's also put a background color down here. And let's make this, what do we got, blue, green, yet. And we'll just make this red. So we have these three styles that represent major states in our application, states of elements, I should say. Let's go over to the page, and let's add in a few elements where we can use these styles. And well, let's just put some buttons. And I'm going to give them an ID. And we'll make this one the default state. Let me copy that down here. And we'll make one button representing each of the state styles that we just did. Make this one use the active. And we'll make button 3 do the hover. So we'll just put the text of hover in there. Now that we have those, I'm going to add a little JavaScript and use some jQuery to manipulate these classes on these three buttons so we can see the effect of using them. So let's go over here to our Solution Explorer. Let's put a link to jQuery. There it is there. We'll drag that up and put that inside of our header. And we're going to put a little script inside our header as well. Whoops. And that'll be JavaScript. Now we'll put a little jQuery. Don't worry if you're not familiar with jQuery. Let me type some stuff in here and then I'll explain what's going on. And this is just a method in jQuery that ensures that the entire document is loaded before we perform some operations. Now we'll add a couple event handlers. And so let's say, let's take the button 2, the ID of button 2. Let's add a click event handler. This is just a jQuery shortcut to add a click event handler. And if you're not familiar with jQuery, you can go to jQuery.com and take a look at this afterwards in case you're interested. It's kind of a sidelight to what we're doing here. And now let's take that button 2 and let's do something called toggle class. And, you know, in fact, let's put the default class on all of these. So let's put class equal to, and we'll put the UI state default on all of them. So go like this, like that. Then we're going to copy this class, because what we're going to do up here is we're going to use the jQuery toggle class method, and that essentially turns it on or off. If it's on, it turns it off. If it's off, it turns it on. And then we're going to do chaining, which is a great feature of jQuery, like this. And we're going to make button 2 active, so we'll go like that. Then on button 3, let's do a hover, and so we'll go like this. We'll go select button 3, and then I want to do a hover on it, and hover takes two functions, one for essentially mouse over, one for mouse out. So we'll go function number 1 for mouse over, we'll go function number 2 for mouse out. And then we'll close that out. Let's just steal our code from up here. Save us a whole bunch of typing. And we'll go in here. And we want to change it from, we want to do a toggle to the hover class. And it's from default to hover. That looks good. Down here. Okay, let's just take a quick look, make sure we have it right. So what's going to essentially happen here, we're going to click on 2, it's going to get rid of default, add the active class, And button 3, when we hover, when we go over it, it's going to get rid of default, add the hover, and when we move out of it, it's going to put the default back on and remove the hover. So now let's take a look at it. So we'll open it up here in the browser. And here we have our three buttons all in the default state. When we click on button number 2, it changes to the active state. When we click on it again, it removes the active state. Button 3, we have the hover effect. We'll go over it. There's the hover effect. We'll move out back to the default state. So that's an example of using these granular-based state styles. And I think you can see that by having these very low-level styles, we could apply them throughout the entire site, and everything would have the same look and feel. It's also a very centralized implementation, because we could come in here, say, to the active state and make the background color, instead of blue, we can make it yellow or whatever, and then that effect would permeate or cascade throughout our site. So now let's take a look at a few interaction type styles. So in terms of interaction, what we mean by interaction is these might be some standard cues to the user as to how to interact with our elements on our site. So let's go hdi.ui. And we're going to call these are really part of state, but there are different groups, so we kind of group them down here. And one might be error. E-R-O-R, there we go. So this, you know, many times you have error states on your site. You know, someone typed something in incorrectly, or other types of error conditions, and you might want to display the same visual cues to the user when those error conditions occur. And let's say we can, let's put the color in here, and we'll put red, and we'll put the font weight, and we'll put that bold. And we'll make it really obvious. Let's put a border of solid 1 pixel yellow around it. And let's say another cue, you might want to highlight some things on the page. So let me scroll down here. Get there we go. You can see a little bit better. And so we'll create a style called highlight. Oops, state highlight. And let's say again, we want the font weight to be bold. And what the heck, let's put a background color of blue. So let's go over and just put a quick sample of those on our page. And we'll scroll down. We'll put those up here in this first div. So let's create a paragraph. And this is highlight. And so then we can apply the class right in here. And there's our highlight class. And we'll put another paragraph. And we'll put this is an error. And we'll apply the error class to this one. And there we have an error class. Let's take a look at this. And I see I put these in the header, so we probably should move these out of the header. And we'll put them right down here. There we go. That's better. All right, let's open it up. And here's our sample page, and you can see our highlight and our error style. So we'd happen to pick a... by coincidence picked a highlight style that's very similar to this header style, but I think you get the idea. Let's go back over here to our style sheet. Let me expand out the outline so we can see everything we've created. And what we've done here is we've created styles that are very granular. By granular I mean that they have a very specific purpose, and they're also generic. Generic being that they could be applied to different HTML elements on a web page. This gives us a lot of power, because it allows us to use these styles over and over and over again, and when we use them, they have a very specific purpose. And I think you'll find as you flesh this out a little bit more on your own and add some additional styles that you will likely be combining multiple styles in a given element to get a desired effect. And that's a much better approach than having a style for paragraphs, for divs, for buttons, etc., because then you end up with a proliferation of styles. You have many more styles and they're specific to, say, a button. And if you want to change the general default state of elements on your page, you would have to go to multiple styles. The button, maybe a input text box, etc., to change everything, and it would be a lot harder to maintain. I think if you've done a fair bit of programming, you'll see the concept here that you might have used in writing your program classes and methods. Another point to make is we focus pretty much on just the user interface here, I mean kind of the look of the site, and we've kept this style sheet and all these styles specific to that, but you could also go down the path of doing some layout related styles. You might have a standard padding around things, you might have standard padding in your headers. And notice here when we did some things that it was only the UI, like when we did the header, we applied the style from here to get a particular color to that header, but we didn't do the padding. And in that case, I would do the padding for the header down here. Just let me point this out, what I'm talking about down here on line 16. This is the look of the header. I would do a companion style for the layout, say the padding and the margin or whatever you're going to do with your header, and then you would apply both those classes to your header. And what that does is it again abstracts things away so you have a more granular approach. So I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with the application. We did it in Visual Basic here. Most of it is cascading style sheets, so the C# version will be essentially the same, but there is that project type available in the download as well. So then expand upon what we've done here, create some more styles related to the visual appearance of your website, and then maybe create a companion style sheet that has to do with layout. So I hope this has started you down the path of creating more granular specific styles for your applications that can be reused, and I encourage you to use the sample code as a starting point for your own websites and expand upon from there. So this is Chris Bells. Thanks for watching this video on creating a standard approach for implementing styles in your websites.